This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret.
We continue to talk about right-to-work legislation in Wisconsin. We're joined by one of the state lawmakers who's been calling for right-to-work legislation.
Representative Chris Kapinga is with us. He's a Republican state representative from Delafield. Representative Kapinga, thanks so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on.
So coming into his second term, Governor Walker said, right-to-work, not a top priority, a distraction, he's called it. Why has it been a priority for you, though?
Well, it's something that I actually have been working on since I joined the legislature. I'm now coming into my third session, but it's been a very personal thing for me because back when I was 19 years old, I was working at an electrical contractor, and we get our paycheck, and I brought my pay stub into the payroll person because there was a deduction on it. And she said, that is for your union dues. And then I found out about, well, if I don't want to be part of the union, really my only option is to lose my job. And that never really sat well with me. So it's a personal thing. It's very good because what it does is it allows workers to make a choice. If they're in a union shop, they can now say, hey, you know what? I don't want to be part of the union for whatever reason, or I do want to be part of the union. If they feel there's value and they're happy with it, they can continue to choose to be in a union. The legislation is going to be clean. It's just going to simply say you can now choose not to be in that union and you will not lose your job.
And why now? Why is this being tackled as of this morning?
Yeah. As you know, we have been working on this for months now. This, I think, first hit maybe in October, November timeframe. So people know that we've been working on it. And since the beginning, the Senate has said we want to take the lead on this. So we have been working with Senator Fitzgerald and just kind of pulsing where he's at with things. But in the meantime, we've been making sure that there's a good, solid bill in place. And Senator Fitzgerald has finally said, hey, I have the votes. So with a bill that we've got here, so we're going to move forward now. And so obviously he's calling, along with the speaker, the extraordinary session to begin that process.
So we haven't seen the bill. The draft is not out yet, or it's just coming out today. The Senate planning to vote on it by the end of next week. You and the Assembly, as I understand it, the week after. A lot of times with major legislation, there's more time for public input, public hearings. Why? A lot of people are calling this a fast track. Why?
Yeah, I don't think this is fast tracking at all. This issue, I've been getting emails from constituents since the first day we took office back in January. So this is something that has been very public. It's not fast tracking. We're still going to go through the standard hearing process. So there are time limits in the Senate and the Assembly as far as how long you have to wait to make sure that the public has proper time to give their input. And we will follow the rules on that. So the Senate is going to go in. It sounds like Senator Fitzgerald said, next week, Monday, Tuesday time frame for their committee hearings where the public has a chance to come in, and then they'll be voting on it later in the week on the floor. If that happens, then the Assembly will go through our standard public hearing, and then we'll have an executive hearing most likely 48 hours or so after that. And then if it gets voted out of the executive hearing, it goes onto the floor for a vote.
Still a fairly short amount of time. You were quoted in the Capital Times last year back in December saying people are going to be passionate about this on the other side. We will have some very healthy debate. I look forward to that. That's part of the legislative process. Given the controversy, given that this is going to be a heated issue, is this 1 week from draft release to a vote enough time?
Well, I think it's important to understand that this is not like a budget bill where it's 800 or 1,800 pages. I think the current budget bill is. This bill, and people will be able to view it probably later today, is about a page and a half. So there is not a lot in it. It lays out that, as I said, workers now have a choice. They cannot be fired if they're in a union shop and they choose not to join that union when that contract is up. So there's not a lot to the bill to understand. It's not complex in any way. When you have a page and a half bill, people people will be able to go to the public hearings and express their like or dislike, and obviously the legislators who are there will listen to that and have to make their decisions.
Well, let's get into the consequences of this bill. What do you see changing in Wisconsin's economy if this what's called right-to-work legislation is passed and signed?
Yeah, well, I think it's important to make sure we don't get off of the main reason we're doing it, which again goes back to allowing workers that choice. But being a CPA, we've crunched the numbers from the economic side too, because obviously that is something that constituents have said, hey, make sure that when we look at this, there's not going to be significant negative consequences. And as we pulled the numbers and analyzed the data, there's a couple of very good things that we see that right-to-work states have on a macro level that I think will down the road help our economy. And that's going to be, there's things like if we look at the number of jobs, we see there's increase in jobs. Income mobility, which is really important if we want to start really tackling this poverty issue that we have. Income mobility is a key factor to that. And right-to-work states have a much better income mobility scale than non-right-to-work states. So we see things like that and we say, okay, if we can implement something that increases worker freedom and is good for people who are on a lower income scale to get them a job and then help them get up sooner or quicker, why would we not do that?
There's a lot of contradictory studies, ones from more conservative groups find these positive results, ones from groups on the left find negative results. I've seen work from a lot of economists who say, short version, reply hazy, ask again later. There's a mixed bag around the country. Do we really know what this is going to do in terms of more jobs? And also the concern often, does it lower wages if it diminishes collective bargaining power for some of these private unions?
Yeah, it is interesting because and being a CPA, I know that if you have an objective, you will be able to go find the numbers to support that objective. So there absolutely is data out there from both sides, and they will prove their point through that data. But what we did is we step back and we say we're going to look at macro numbers, so larger scale numbers, because that's what you can't really pick and choose special ones to support whatever position you want there. You kind of have to look at it as a whole. So that's what we did. We stepped back, got like Bureau of Labor Statistics reports, and we started digging through data and looking at analysis on that, and that's where we came to our conclusion. So we tried to use good data sources, not politically oriented, either left or right, and make our decision on that.
So some of the response from Democrats and unions has been the main point of this bill is to weaken private unions. There was already Act 10 on the public union side. This is an attempt to diminish the influence and power of a traditional, often opponent of Republicans.
Sure. Obviously, we've heard that from some parties, but every time that comes up, I just point out this. That is, this has nothing to do with making unions stronger or weaker. If you look at the statistics, if you look at other states who have done this, there are times when the unions actually grow stronger. And that's great. I fully support people being able to go and choose to be in a union. And if they feel that there is value in that, they have the right to do it. But if they don't feel there's value in that, right now under current law, they can't say no to it. They're forced to do it or they lose their job in union shops. So we're just saying you can have that choice. That doesn't weaken unions. If the unions are bringing good value, and even a UAW spokesperson said this, he said, you know what, it's really going to make the unions have to look and say, are we bringing value? And if we're not bringing enough value, we need to analyze ourselves and maybe work on that.
Do you? I mentioned Act 10. Do you anticipate, Representative Kapinga, any large-scale protests like we saw in the months following the release, weeks actually, following the release of the Act 10 budget repair bill?
Yeah, I don't know what to expect, but my gut just says this is not going to be something like that because that really hit a lot of people in the pocketbook. This is something that's simply allowing more liberty. So it's a very different type of legislation that we're working on right now. So I don't think we're going to see the large scale protests that we saw back in 2010.
And on a procedural and timing level, you've got a big budget to deal with. Yeah. That 800-page monster or so you mentioned. Why not get through that budget, get that behind you, and then tackle this kind of legislation?
Sure. That's a good question. The budget's actually about, I think my staff counted 1,900 pages now, and it'll continue to grow. So that is a huge task. The joint finance team, that's their main responsibility, is to be going in. They're going to be holding hearings and really digging into that. That's something that typically does not come to vote until, I'm guessing, this session will most likely be June. So we have work to do on that. But just because we have the budget in front of us doesn't mean we don't work on other important things. And this is something that our caucus feels very, very, it's a very important thing to do. And again, because we have the votes now, we're going to move forward with that. But that the budget is its own piece of legislation. You don't just stop everything else because you're working on that.
And you don't see any stumbling blocks? This might be passed by both houses maybe 2 weeks from now?
Yeah, if everything goes well through the Senate with the votes, and obviously Senator Fitzgerald is pretty confident he got those votes or he would not have called the special session. If that passes through and they work the bill through and vote on it next week, we fully expect the Assembly to be in the week after.
Representative Kapinga, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
That was Chris Kapinga, Republican state representative from Delafield, backing new right-to-work legislation getting into the legislature. We'll be talking more about that on this show and on the Joy Cardine Show, and taking your calls and comments next week as well.
I'm Veronica Ricker.
And I'm Rob Farah. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network.